special Crypto Christmas here on the Henry Rand Show. And thank you all for joining us. Hope you're all going to have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, whatever your plans are. And you know, here in the studio, we have Alex Solis, Solis Digital Assets, Colleen from Twitter, Crypto Noob Girl. We have Augie, the Contrarian. We have Sabine Priestley, the science fiction romance novelist and futurist thinking. We have Andy from TradingView.com and his column, as well as much more, Goldbug One. And then, you know, the great thing about Christmas, though, is getting more people involved. And oh, what's that sound? Huh. 8 seconds sounds like a long time. Well, look, it's Gabe Higgins and Rosa Shores from Tampa Meetup and Block Spaces. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, guys.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. So before we get into some of the harder news of the week, what's going on in Tampa Bay on the north side up there at Block Spaces for the Tampa Bay Blockchain Incubator, as well as your meetups? What's the holiday shaping up for?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're just preparing for our grand opening, which is January 13th. We just had a meetup on Wednesday night. We had about 150 people. So that was amazing. And just getting ready to go to Miami. We have a lot to do on the space still. So between now and the time of our grand opening, we're just going to be hunkering down and trying to get everything ready to go.
So you guys are jamming over there, huh?
We are. We really are. I mean, it's just been really amazing. I mean, the support of the community. We are working with a Channel 10 news reporter. I was on Bay News 9 last night. I did an interview with Tina Hui from Follow the Coin last week. So we've been getting a lot of attention and a ton of community support. So very exciting to see.
That's great. And how's the new project coming along with your voting thing? The voting coin.
Yeah. Well, and again, that it's not a voting coin, really. ClearVoter is a civic engagement platform that groups users into their voting districts around issues instead of political parties. So that's been kind of a labor of love for us for the last 3 years. And we are just all the co-founders. There's four co-founders. We're all blockchain and Bitcoin enthusiasts. So there has always been a prospect plan to use ClearVoter as a sort of like a front-end deployment for blockchain-based voting. But there is no – that would be the long-term iteration of ClearVoter. The first term is a civic engagement platform. So
I'm sure your phone blew up the other morning with callers going crazy, just pulling their hair out, wondering what to do. What was your morning like Friday morning when you woke up?
What are we talking about? The correction? Are we talking about Coinbase? What are we talking about?
Well, let's start with that one you were getting phone calls on.
Go ahead and start with the correction. Yeah.
Gabe, you know, I hate talking over everything because I always seem to do that. But, you know, I mean, as far as this isn't, like, even remotely surprising nor remotely worrisome, completely expected. It was really interesting listening to what you guys were just talking about. And, you know, I completely agree that this probably isn't the environment to start a hedge fund. There's like nothing surprising or even necessarily alarming about it. It's predictable, completely predictable, and we've been through it so many times. So,
okay. Well, one thing that wasn't predictable, at least by many, that Coinbase would drop the trading on Coinbase for Bitcoin Cash without any notice.
Yeah.
In fact, I have the president of Coinbase, Asif Hirsi, just a week ago, this is what he was saying about the future coins that might be offered by Coinbase and how they would go about doing it.
I want to talk to you about things that are coming up, so to speak, Asif, because
sure.
You know, we have a lot of Twitter followers who are avid cryptocurrency fans out there, and they've got two burning questions for you, and I'm going to start off with the first one, and that is,
right.
When are the new coins coming, and what will they be? Do you have targets in terms of when you will have new coins on the platform?
So we have published, I think you had Catherine Hahn, one of our board members on the show or on Squawk earlier, and she may have mentioned that we have got and published a digital asset framework which outlines the criteria we look at for any particular asset before we choose to list it. We take that criteria very seriously. We do everything, including a deep engineering survey of the asset. You need to pass those exams before we will even consider listing the asset. Now, I can't talk about any asset that we're considering, or even, in fact, if we are considering any assets. That would be material non-public information. But suffice to say that we have a framework.
Now, it would be appropriate right then to say we will announce it in an organized, rational way.
Well, and I like how he said that would be inappropriate public material. He didn't say it would be inappropriate to release it privately.
We will see. We've got a little bit more here.
Work out there, and we have a lot of interest in new assets being put on our platform. A lot of people are campaigning for that, but it'll be an orderly process by which, if you meet the criteria, then there's every indication that you may at some point be listed on our exchange.
He's going to be asked Bitcoin Cash in a second, but I do need to say, listen to WWPR 1490 AM, Bradenton, Sarasota, Tampa Bay.
Do you expect that at least one more cryptocurrency will be listed by, say, mid next year?
I can't comment on that. There'll be a lot of speculation. I think you should expect over time that there'll be more and more assets listed.
All right. The second most popular question that I'm getting.
He could have even said it could be sooner than next year.
For you, assets, is when is SegWit or segregated witness going to be implemented on Coinbase?
So we've looked at that. It's one of the things we are working on. I think Brian, our founder, made a comment last week on it. We are looking to implement it, but we cannot commit to a specific time frame.
Hi, sir. It's Brian Kelly. So I'm curious on the framework that you have for these currencies.
Yep.
Could we look at the ones that you've listed already? And would it be safe to assume that anything that kind of looks like that, and what I'm getting at is Bitcoin Cash, would be ready to be listed on your platform? Because Bitcoin Cash is effectively Bitcoin. I mean, I mean that in the development way. People in the world will get mad at me if I call it the same thing.
No, I think Rosie's steaming now.
I understand. I think at 100,000 feet, that's probably directionally accurate.
Well, we can go on for another 30 seconds with this, but we won't. The one thing that they didn't ask him, and now in hindsight it would have been the most logical question, what would be the process for announcing this, which we didn't get out of him on that. Before we go back to Gabe and Rosa, in the group text that we were circulating the night Bitcoin Cash dropped, it caught pretty much everybody by surprise. I don't know what was going on in my life where I hadn't looked at my phone for 2 hours, either CoinMarket or Coinbase. But all of a sudden it's there and it's saying $9,000 for a trade. And then they shut everything down. I'm texting them. You got on and started looking.
I was ready to buy a house. I was on there looking for houses at that time.
Yeah, everybody is trying to get money off other exchanges, Bitcoin Cash off other exchanges, get it over to Coinbase and make an instant 200% profit, and everything is locking up, can't do anything, and all of this because of the way they announced it. Now, we have secret hot mic audio of the planning session with Asif Hirji and his staff when they were deciding how they were going to do this, and now for the first time anyway in a Henry Rain Show exclusive, we will play it for you.
I'm murdering you.
No, not that
mole. Don't
call me a fish. Well, there you have it.
I would say that's absolutely accurate.
Well, we have it from the most impeccable sources.
In my opinion, that's about the level of competence of how that played out. Just in full disclosure, I do not hold Bitcoin Cash. I am not a trader, and I have never used Coinbase in my life. But from that view looking in, that was complete incompetence the way that was pulled off. So that's that's my opinion.
I thought he should have been fired. I literally thought he should have been fired for the way that that rolled out. Not only did people get caught up in it, but people lost money in it. And, you know,
Well, I think, though, that they canceled all the trades, is my understanding.
Yeah, but what if I made that trade? What if I was the guy that sold at $8,500, and I'm thinking to myself, hey, I want my money. I was smart enough to get in there real quick.
You just want something for nothing.
But regardless, I mean, it created a cluster. It created a meltdown on not only Coinbase's exchange, but try to do a trade on any other exchange. And then it rippled. Mark my words, I love Ripple, but it rippled into other coins. And then the whole market was just like, it was pandemonium in Redneck Village.
It was not fired that day. The very next day, which I believe is the next day, was when they had to frequently close Coinbase down because of the volume, which I'm not actually against, because if you go to the stock markets, there's circuit breakers, and I think it actually was something good that happened in the correction, because people, especially all the new people that we talked about earlier, were probably overreacting. But let me go back to Gabe on this one. So we have a couple of items either before you came on or that we've already talked about. We have the Navigats coming out saying that Bitcoin was going to go down to 8,000. He was going to cancel his hedge fund, not going to do it, turned his back on being long. We have Coinbase doing this fiasco with Bitcoin Cash and all the froth and turmoil it caused in the markets. And then we have whatever else was causing the price and the jumpiness of all these new users. What do you think were the contributing factors to this correction, or was it just another random event in Bitcoin?
Yeah, well, I think a correction like this was, like mentioned, it was expected for a while now. I'm surprised it didn't correct even further. I'm still expecting an even larger correction. As you mentioned earlier in the show, this is the third or fourth or fifth 30% correction in Bitcoin this year alone. And Bitcoin has had very severe correction in its history, up to 80 to 90% corrections. So this is, of course, very highly volatile, and you just got to know that coming into this. This isn't like anything else that we've ever seen before in regards to something that you can, you know, trade on an open market. So you can't treat it like a stock. You can't invest in it wildly because of the volatility swings you and a lot of people have. You can get wrecked very easily if you don't know what you're doing.
I want to shift gears a little bit here, because there's one topic I wanted to be sure we get to, and maybe we'll circle around this through some other topics. And that is, you two are going to be down at the North American Bitcoin Conference in Miami coming up on the 18th and 19th, and I don't know if three or more of us in this studio are going to be there. And right now we have Colleen here in the studio. We've got Sabine in the studio. We have
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Gabe.
Hi.
And we have Rosa, and Gabe is standing by there. And I was going over the agenda for the North American Bitcoin Conference, and they have 68 fascinating speakers that are going to speak over 2 days. I guess that's about 15 minutes apiece. If they run them overnight. I don't know how they're planning on doing that, but they're going to do it. Anyway, they managed to get 68 top speakers on cryptocurrency and Bitcoin there. And out of that 68, they managed to find two women they were worth listening to. Now, of all of North America, but we have Colleen, Sabine, and Rosa here. We have three women talking to our audience now within a 50-mile radius. Three great female cryptocurrency intellects followed online and in person. So really, Rosa, I guess you would have to agree. I'm sure Gabe would agree with us. We have the greatest collection of female cryptocurrency intellects in the continent of North America.
I can't even sort of say that I'm in that realm.
Well, you don't have to.
I do want to definitely, you know, just to set the record straight about that Miami show. You know, each of these conferences is run by a different organizer. We know the organizer of the North American Bitcoin Conference. This is sort of typical for this particular conference. You know, for whatever reason, they pick the speakers, they do their thing. You know, they have their list of speakers that they go to. They choose from people that have, you know, announcements to make or projects in the space or, quite frankly, have the time and are able to come down and speak to the conference. There are some really amazing women in this space. You know, the co-founder of the Lightning Network is Elizabeth Stark as a woman. So, you know, the list just goes on and on. Connie Galuppi of BitGive. I mean, there's some women CEOs in this space that are worth following, worth listening to, and absolutely worth having at a conference. Now, that it could just be that they're too busy. So, I mean, you know, it just, you have to, like, take that for what that is. And it has been a call out, and this will be my third North American Bitcoin Conference, and it's been a call out every single year. I mean, every single year, there's people asking why there's not more women speaking at this conference. But you know, that it is not reflective of the space. This is a male dominated space at the moment, but there are way more very, very successful women in this space, that could easily be at that conference. Why they're not, you know, that could be anything from personal preference all the way up to they literally don't have time, or maybe the conference can't afford them. I mean, I don't know, you know, so it's a range of reasons why, but there will be lots of women at that conference. I know for a fact there's lots of women that I know personally that are going to that conference that are worth meeting and worth following and worth talking to. So I recommend everybody going. It's going to be extremely great and very educational, and I recommend anybody going.
Sabine, you're planning on going, You don't have – this would be your first, right,
yeah.
First time? So you don't have 3 years of experience of being pushed off into the women's ghetto there. So,
I got to say –
they don't do that.
Yeah, and this isn't just crypto, right? I mean, Rosa can
agree. No.
This happens – being an engineer, I get that, the same thing all the time. And we talked about it, and it's interesting. You know, we've talked about it in the Facebook group that Rosa and Gabe started – and in their meetings there in Tampa. And it's great when you go to those meetings. There's a large percentage of women there present.
Yep.
So the representation is fantastic. And like Rosa said.
Maybe because there's a woman leader there.
I'm sure she's got a lot to do with it. I'm sorry, Rosa, but you really are the queen bee of this area, whether you like it or not. So.
Tampa Bay,
yes.
Blockchain.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully Rosa will be starting a Women in Crypto initiative here locally. I know she has a lot of connections in the space that are also talking about doing more for getting more women involved in crypto.
Absolutely, and we even have one of the projects that is being incubated out of Black Spaces right now is headed up by one of our devs that is there, Michael O'Rourke. He literally reached out to me just this week and said that he is actively looking for female devs, and not to be, you know, sexist or whatever. He said he just wants to add diversity to his team, and he is specifically looking for a female dev. So, I mean, there are people that are trying to, you know, integrate women into this space and expose women to this space and, you know, connect them with, you know, really strong female role models. So I think that there'll be a lot of that. Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question, but I want to get Colleen's opinion in this, too, in just a second.
Yeah.
You've been interviewed by Channel 9 and Channel 10, right?
Yep.
Okay. Did they interview Gabe also?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they actually last night.
Not yet.
The reporter for Bay News 9 literally hit me up on Twitter yesterday, and he also reached out to Gabe. Gabe just wasn't available, so I just answered him first. I answered him first, and they interviewed me like literally 2 hours later, and I was on the news at 11. So Gabe just literally wasn't available.
You're actually on the news at 8, I think, close to 8.
Or whenever it was.
Let me go to Colleen. Because I don't know your work environment, but I know you have a professional job. You have a lot of knowledge. When you start talking about this in a room of people that maybe aren't familiar with cryptocurrency, or do you even bring it up if the people aren't familiar with it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll bring it up in front of people.
Okay, so do you get a split reaction, like the women take you seriously, maybe the men don't take you seriously at first, or maybe not? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
No, I mean, I've honestly noticed zero difference whatsoever between men and right. Women's.
Yeah. What about your close to 4,000 Twitter followers? Mm-hmm. What do you find attitudes there? Because, I mean, it's a fun timeline that you have. But sometimes you're putting out stuff about some interesting coins and things like that. Do you see any kind of reaction one way or the other, gender-wise?
No, I think that, honestly, at least with crypto Twitter, there's plenty of smart women on there. And I don't think there's a whole lot of chauvinism going on there.
Do you think, as far as getting followers, being a female gives you a boost? Especially if it's male-dominated.
I'm not going to lie, it. Of course it does.
Of course it does, because, you know, you sit there and you see him on TradingView, and you're going, there's no way that's a girl. There's no way.
I'm not quite sure what you were just talking about.
What they'll do is they post on there, and they post this beautiful picture of some girl on the beach in a bikini. Alex would know about this, and he is putting together the crypto calendar Baywatch edition. Rosa, he is asking you to come on for that. You know, he's looking for models, but...
Yeah, no thanks.
anyways, we're digressing here. I'm going to turn the mic back over to Henry.
This seems to happen a lot at this point in the show.
All right, so let me just one more time around the female panel here. If there's anything else they want to add to this before we move on to another topic, or have we?
I don't think so. I think we're good.
I'm fine. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, women are in this space. There's women that are extremely intelligent and have some amazing projects going on in this space. So, you know, if you look for them, they are definitely there.
Yeah. Sorry, Henry, but I think you're more interested in this than we are.
Well, I guess I made the call.
Touch of candor there.
Moving on then, we have a couple different things. We said we'd get into ethics and maybe idealism and some of these other things, but there's a couple of items here that I want to use to set that up. Goldman Sachs is setting up a trading desk to make markets in digital currencies such as Bitcoin. According to people with knowledge of the strategy, the bank aims to get the business running by the end of June, if not earlier. The move positions Goldman Sachs to become the first large Wall Street firm to make markets in cryptocurrencies. And unlike, they said, the Bank of America, Citigroup, have a wait-and-see attitude, although that wait-and-see attitude in the case of Bank of America is that they've already patented their cryptocurrency exchange, which sounds like they're going to integrate it with their other products with Merrill Lynch and their banking products. Goldman Sachs is now assembling a team in New York. And then moving on to just one other item here, the Chicago Board of Options Exchange has filed with U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, for six different exchange-traded funds based on Bitcoin. Bitcoin Strategy ETF, First Trust Inverse Bitcoin Strategy, Granite Shares Bitcoin, Granite Shares of Short Bitcoin, Rex Bitcoin, and Rex Short Bitcoin. Does Rex stand for any acronym that you know? Okay, I was just asking that to Andy. So anyway, these are not going to hold actual Bitcoins. These are going to be products that are based on the futures that they actually market. So we have the financial institutions making their move into this. And I've seen, I believe, Sabine posted something not necessarily on a Bitcoin. Didn't you post something about liquid democracy?
Yeah,
and I've seen Rosa in her postings talk about not being materially driven on the Bitcoin, but working for a better world in the future, if I can make it so simple. Let's go then to Rosa first. Explain that to the audience. Why
a better
aren't
world.
You materially driven like almost everybody else that's in this space right now? The vast majority that have come in.
I think that anybody that's been in it longer than a year, you know, wasn't here because of the price or they were going to get rich quick overnight. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't people that were acquiring wealth along the way. But the vast majority of the people that were in this prior to a year, 16 months ago, were here for philosophical reasons, quite frankly. You know, I just posted this morning in our group, you know, Bitcoin was released on a cypherpunk mailing list. And although cryptography is not a philosophy, cryptography is math, and you can do with cryptography whatever you want, cypherpunk has a very, very distinct philosophy. It is absolutely political. And it is about kind of doing away with government control, giving people sovereignty of their own money and their own life, allowing people to have, you know, electronic money that gives them security and privacy. You know, it's the same reason that Gabe and I are doing Clear Voter. We both have children, and we want to try to at least do what we can to leave them a little better world than right. what we came into.
Augie is shaking his head. I'm going to ask him to be patient because there's some more setup to this to get to the stuff that he wants to talk about. But let me quickly ask Gabe, though. You came to this, you brought Rosa into this world as far as the cryptocurrency world. was that your early motivations, or was it just the whole technical curiosity of it all?
I found myself philosophically attracted to Bitcoin at first, and then it being coupled with my interest in technology, it made it a very, very interesting and compelling thing to keep watching and take interest in for me.
So I'm going to speed this up because I'm looking at the clock. We can run over 1:30 a little bit, but we are under a limit here. So we've had these stories for weeks now, months now, really, about the biggest financial institutions coming involved. And I know when I see on the different discussion groups on Facebook and other places a lot of negativity for that aspect, that people wanted the decentralization, they wanted peer-to-peer transactions. They're not thrilled about the financial institutions. On the other hand, those of us that are more materially driven are thinking, well, this is going to explode the space. There's going to be great returns on this. So that's what one thing we've been looking. But since the cryptocurrencies hit the $600 billion market cap, I've noticed a couple other stories here. And that's the idea that central banks, nation-state central banks, will start adding cryptocurrencies as one of their reserve currencies. And so for background, I'll try and do this as quickly as I can. But the IMF head, Christine Lagarde, cautioned that cryptocurrencies can displace central banks, conventional banking, and national monies. Well, I'm sure for the true believers and the idealists of this, that sounds good. We're pointing out, though, that the United States is the dominant economic power of the world. It was codified in Bretton Woods and the institutes of the role of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. Now, blockchain cryptocurrencies are decentralized, and one of the things that has happened is the October 15th announcement by Russia that they were going to introduce the crypto ruble. One of the reasons for this is the SWIFT, and Andy, you might want to grab that one and talk to this a little bit, because SWIFT is how banks exchange and move money around the world. A vulnerability for the Russian economy is access to this system. And these, when we see sanctions being issued by the United States or the G7 or other economic groups, it's through this. Now, you know, you can just mention them quickly if you can, some of the coins that you've looked at that would be a bypass of SWIFT.
Well, just about any of them would, but I think the two that out there that are directed towards this market in specifics is a Ripple and Stellar Lumens.
And Ripple has gone the route of trying to be integrated with these major banks and financial institutions. Go ahead, Alex.
SWIFT has a partnership with Chainlink, so they are in the blockchain space.
Okay. So there's a co-opting going on this. Russian President, Prime Minister Medvedev has said that it would be a nuclear option if the SWIFT system was ever used against them and they were blocked from it. So that's the background. But now they're saying the G7 central banks are going to have to start looking in 2018 of adding cryptocurrencies, in particular I would think of Bitcoin or Bitcoin, whatever seems to be the dominant by the middle of 2018, because the market cap is outgrowing some of these currencies that they hold. So now we're going to have a situation where if you're talking about establishment, forget about the financial issues, the Goldman Sachs. If the central banks of the world are holding this as part of the special drawing rights that they share with each other, we really have a co-opting of the power structure of the globe. Augie, I said to be patient. You go first, but then I want to go back to them.
Well, I do. I want to, is it Rosa?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to hear the definition of government. Because you cited it as if it's the enemy.
Yeah, and we got 30 seconds.
And I'm not going to go into it too much, but good old Abraham said, we are the government. in any event, Lincoln, that is. In any event, if you want to have chaos, that's how you do it. You get rid of government. That's where this is headed. I'm sorry. There's no ideal there.
So first of all, let me clarify that I am not even remotely anti-government. I'm not an anarchist. In fact, I would call myself a very left-leaning libertarian. So I absolutely am not an anarchist. I do think that there needs to be a government, but how do I define government as it stands right now? Is a completely centralized point of authority that is completely controlled by the banking system. So I believe right now the government that we have is completely corrupted by our monetary system being controlled by central banks and the Federal Reserve. So that to me is I don't think our government is remotely functioning as it was meant to be.
Well, let me say this. We are here at Christmas, and, of course, Easter is a different holiday. But when Jesus, according to the scriptures, came over and turned over the tables of the moneylenders and the money changers in the temple, people don't realize the temple had 10,000 employees. So they were the central bank of that nation, and we've had this throughout history. So if we're going to decentralize this, then tell us how you might see what would replace it.
Well, first of all, Jesus turned over those tables for the money changers because they were charging people to pray. So that wasn't necessarily against the government. The church was the government. The church was functioning like the government, and at that time they were charging people a tax to pray. So that was that. as far as what replaces it, like I said, I'm not anti-government. I think that a government as is outlined in the Constitution.
I mean, replacing the central bank system.
Yeah. The point is, we're not trying to. The central banks have been clearly damaging to our economy and to how our world operates, especially our government, and it becoming a political tool to wield over the people, because they have the control of our money, is proving to be a failure. Before Bitcoin, nothing that we the people, right? If that's how we're defining the government, then we the people didn't have a mechanism to keep those systems in check. Those systems of authority and power and control, because the central bank, as you know, is not a federal agency that has voted on members by Congress or the people. It's a private entity. It's a private banking system. So they have free reign to do what they want, but they have control of our entire money supply. We are taking that control back, so I think that Bitcoin represents a democratization of money back to the people where we hold the authority, not some central institution of money grabbers.
Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because if you go back to the beginning of the country, when they first people came over here, England would not give this country money to use, so they used Spanish mullions. And what derived from that was the education notes. And so each little community had its own little currency, and it was chosen by the people. And I think that's what you're going back to. But for 2,000 years, people have been told this is the currency and this is what you use. And you're right, the central banks have had control over it. And what's cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin in general, take away from that is that gives it the people decide what is worth value, not the government telling you, and I agree with that entirely.
In 1913, prior to the Federal Reserve being established, there was a panic, which was frequently happening throughout the U.S. Every 20 years, every 10 years, there was a major panic, no central bank system. J.P. Morgan, for all the negative things we could say about him, pulled the wealthiest people and the wealthiest bankers into a meeting, and they took action together to change the direction of the economy, and the Federal Reserve came out of that, and, of course, the directors, the chairs appointed by the president, et cetera. But there was a central authority in the form of one man, J.P. Morgan, that pulled this all together. If we decentralized and we have a critical crisis, whether it be a war or environmental disaster, something like that, there would be no if the United States lost its market dominance and we decentralized in all these, I don't know what would replace it.
Let me add to that. Look what's happened to Puerto Rico. We've taken away them their rights to be part of this country, and they're under the law, under the current rules that have been made, they're now considered a foreign country, even though they're U.S. citizens. So what incentive do they have to stay there anymore? They're going to flee back to the mainland to get away from being penalized by this current government. And this is not the federal bank. It's our government itself.
Just make one more comment, take it back to Gabe and Rosa and anybody else that wants to jump on after this last one. So what I see in some people, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but when they demonize the central banking system and want to see it go, which I have seen statements like that, you're also saying you want the U.S. dollar dominance to end also. You also are saying you don't want the U.S. to be the global hegemon anymore, the empire of the world, and you may have your reasons for that. So, but I think we have to realize that the trend line on this would lead to that. And anybody wants to disagree with me or add comments, go ahead. We'll start with Gabe and Rosa.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good thing. America doesn't need to be an empire. We didn't start that way. We're an independent, free nation. And we should encourage more independent free nations and not be holding bases, military bases all around the world and establishing our dominance through threat of violence and war.
So let's have 50 countries.
But let me be the contrarian of the group thing. When has human civilization not spread and progressed except through an empire?
Never.
Okay. All right, so I think we can pick the discussion up later, but I don't want to cut anybody out.
Does that make it good, though?
Well,
we have better ways now. We can progress in much more peaceful means now.
Well, and I don't disagree with that, but I don't think that you're ever going to get rid of the central currencies. You're not going to, you're not going to get rid of the central banks, and that is for sure. And they will just slightly be behind the back. They will just. They're going to buy Bitcoin. They're going to store it like gold, like they do with gold reserves. And as the cryptocurrency becomes popular, they will just put it in their little, their little vault there. And they will be able to control that as well by releasing it when needed and pulling it back when they want to. I don't see this going any other way than that. I just don't see it. I mean,
I think that's very oversimplistic. There's no way for them to just do that at this point.
Well,
Bitcoin already has 16.7 million pieces of it in circulation at this point, and there's only going to be 21 million decreases in circulation.
We have time on this because we're running over.
Dependent on an exchange rate in dollars.
All right. We will invite you all back to continue this. And
this is a good conversation, Henry. I mean, we need another half an hour on the show
because Rosa
is biting at the bit to get on here. She's like, Andy, you know what? I heard you on Facebook. I waited all week. I'm ready to get on you.
Leave the audience wanting more, please. What do you want, other than this discussion, what do you want the audience to know about? By the way, our meetup down here is next Saturday, 3:30 to 5 at Mocha Joe's, Bradenton Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup. Want to not end without reminding people that. What do you want people either on this side of the bay or anywhere in the listening audience to be aware of going on up in your area?
Yeah, if you can go to blockspaces.io, that's our website for our co-work and incubation center. You can sign up for more information there, and we'll be launching, like Rosa said earlier, January 13th is going to be our grand opening. So we hope other people can join us.
And let me say one thing before leaving. I cannot believe how much I use your Blockspace, Facebook page, and I want to thank you, Gabe, for calming my ease when Ether Delta got hacked, And for people that are not part of the community, you need to be part of the community. Tampa Bay
Bitcoiners.
I want to say Buccaneers, but, you know. But if you're not signed up, you need to sign up. And it's a world of wealth.
From Sabine, because she's been to these meetups.
Yeah, Sabine actually got me hooked up on the Facebook there.
All right.
So, thanks, Sabine.
Okay, she's nodding. She gives us all her approval, thumbs up, all that stuff. Multiple likes. All right, well, Gabe, Rosa, thank you so much. We'll have you back as soon as we can to continue the discussion. Hopefully we'll see you down at the North American Bitcoin Conference down in Miami in a few weeks.
Yeah, I will be there, and we'll have a big crowd of our locals there as well.
Right. And Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you all up
Thank
there
you.
And all your friends
you
and
too.
Family.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Merry Christmas.
You too.
Thanks, guys.
Hi. Well, we're still all the mics are still live, and we're still on the air. So let me wrap up. Alex, anything you want to leave the audience with? What's going on with Solis Digital Assets, et cetera?
Me and Wendy are working really hard on the calendar and everything. Everything should be ready by March. We have the photo shoots lined up. It's going to be amazing. It's very fun doing this. And I'm really blessed to have her.
And you go to the podcast site, at least the main one at Podomatic.com, but again, the show is available on all the major podcast sites, including iTunes. You can see a picture and a link to Wendy Marie and why you want to do a calendar about her. She'll get to all that, and maybe that'll just be the launch of more calendars. But, Colleen, what do you want to leave the audience with? What's coming up for you?
Well, I've been writing for 21 Cryptos magazine, so go ahead and check that out at 21cryptos.com. I've been doing a humor column on there, and then we're going to be featuring some women coming up. So look for that.
You went a whole hour and a half without plugging your column?
I'm not a very good self-promoter, I guess.
All right. Well, we will take care of that. I'm a great shill for everybody here. So, are you going to be back next week? Do you know if you have to work or not?
If work will allow, I will.
Okay, so they're going to be open. We're at their mercy.
Yeah.
And Sabine, what's on your plate as far as your novels? Anything else crypto-oriented?
The group is a great playground for plot bunnies, and I'll be coming out with a new series and probably a number of short stories that explores potential futures for this entire space. It just fascinates the heck out of me.
So it's going to get, like, a Bitcoin or cryptocurrency in the series title?
Yeah, blockchain. Oh, yeah, because my stock will double instantly if I do that.
You're going to put out an ICO for you're going to have an ICO for your books before they come out?
Absolutely.
All right, Augie?
I just want to congratulate Andy for a nice summary of what you do with currencies that you invest in. And treating it as a government replacement, I think, is a poor idea.
So, Andy, Ari wants to congratulate you on agreeing with them.
You know, we either completely agree 100% or we're on total opposite sides of the spectrum. But I want to say thank you, Alex, for letting me do the photo shoot in my gold Speedo. I don't know if I'm going to make the calendar or not, but, you know, there is hope.
There's a certain market for that, I hear.
Oh, my God.
Andy in a Speedo, I can't believe it.
All right. We will see you next
gold
week.
Gold Speedo.
At the meetup at Mocha Joe's. We will be back here on the air next week, again, 12:05. Hopefully as many people as we can will be here. See all of you one way or another here at WWPR on the radio or in person.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.